Patch Adams. No, I've never heard of this movie before, despite it being what, like 22 years old now, or possibly 22. Anyway, it's first impressions are very interesting. Yeah, about 23 years old. It's very interesting, and quirky and such. I mean, there was that Jack Nicholson movie that was set in a similar setting, but it didn't quite have anything similar to say. So, I don't know, it was more about the drastic, the craziness. Yeah, on the other hand, yeah. Of course, this is a very poignant movie because Williams really did die from suicide, so it's quite something that and this is not the first time. There's another one, another movie where he visits the afterlife, I think. I forgot what it's called though. Anyway, yeah, it's very interesting though. So, first thing that I noticed is that he said random things, like the mention of the pogo stick and whatnot, to the doctor. I'm assuming just to make him suddenly, sort of to test his attention, in other words, right? Which obviously is a test he failed. Yeah. Now, it's all very interesting. So the thing though is that the other guy there, the other patient, Arthur, is a bit. It's interesting how, the reason why he was asking people how many fingers he has, but of course, I mean that sort of, should, I suppose, be followed ideally with a conversation about whether seeing double vision is objective reality or not, and why otherwise the brain rectifies it to see, otherwise, obviously there's only double vision because there's two eyes. If we were a fly or a bee, that would be, yeah, can you imagine loads and loads of versions? Anyway, the thing is though, with this character Arthur, he went from, talking to himself in the middle of a room full of people about wood for some reason, and then to sort of speak with William's character really as if, as if that didn't happen, really. So the transition there was a bit off in this sense. But anyway, still interesting. So yes, interesting character. And then of course there's that his roommate, which makes me think that in a way, yeah, that it is in a way sort of an imaginative play, isn't it? What he was doing. I mean, that might be indeed what schizophrenic hallucinations are about, except they actually happen. So I mean, but then it makes me wonder. I mean, why and how, if it is sort of like a precursor to mostly, children's imagination. I mean, I don't think anyone actually, schizophrenic is actually normally only initiated in people's teenage years, usually. I'm not sure there's usually any children that are, but it's sort of like a precursor, isn't it? How imagination works in that sense, imaginary characters, etc. Except they are usually imaginary, I think, but they do seem to believe it with conviction, almost. Sort of like this guy did. But yeah, it's very interesting how William's character reacted to it. He played along. Of course, the problem then is that, under usual circumstances, I mean, if he gets a fictional weapon like he, so, he assumed he had, then, the other character would, should, suppose, ask whether indeed it exists. Because even if he is seeing squirrels for real, as in, you know, as a hallucination, presumably the hallucination doesn't also include the fictional weapons, unless, of course, it includes anything that people say exists and just some materializes out of nowhere. So yeah, even in the first 15 minutes, this movie is actually thought-provoking. By the way, it's awesome how he told supposed psychiatrist that he sucks. Truly my spirit animal. With regards to that weird convention they went to, yeah, no, that's that was just stupid, honestly. I don't know if they honestly thought all that, you know, Robbie Williams is usually funny, but that was just stupid, just playing along with idiotic puns and whatnot, and honestly just disgusting whole thing was. I'm assuming it was supposed to be sort of part of the experiment. I don't get what the point of it was, how exactly, you know, what difference it made. Besides, I mean, the fact that, you know, he can really assimilate into whatever environment and even change his accent seemingly, and possibly the cult. Who knew? Yeah. But I don't know why there's always something. It's really annoying. There was something in Yes Men as well, you know, it's like they say, you know, just how can we make this movie, you know, any sort of movie, you know. It's cause, to be fair, you know, this is about, I suppose, you know, he wants to become a doctor, you know, a saint soon afterwards, shows gangrene. So I guess, you know, it's not meant to be, I guess, a pretty movie, maybe an interesting movie, I guess, but that's where it is, I suppose. Yeah. Now, one thing, I mean, you know, there's a lot of random talk of medical affairs and just throw away medical terminology and such, but I've noticed at one point that he tries to justify him being comedic by saying, you know, laughter increases catecholamines and endorphins, and yeah, they got it wrong. He actually even references a journal, but they really got that wrong, and I'm not sure how they got it wrong, because I thought it was obvious to me, and I mean, it's not exactly the most complex thing ever, but catecholamines are actually associated with increased stress. So it would make no sense that secretion would be increased with laughter. And indeed, the studies say that it actually decreases. Endorphins, on the other hand, seem to possibly increase, but I have no idea how they got this wrong, because it seems such a simple thing. I mean, you know, catecholamines adrenaline. Makes no sense that laughter would increase adrenaline, so yeah. But yeah, you know, overall, this wasn't really, you know, can be said to be, you know, really best drama, was a comedy. In fact, it's funny, you know, it's, you know, and I have no idea what on earth Metacritics are about this, you know, just, you know, I personally enjoyed it. Critics really have no idea. I just don't know why anyone even bothers with them. I mean, they've praised Grand Stupid Torino, and I mean, that is the stupidest, certainly, but there was also, you know, Silver Linings Playbook, which at best was boring, and somehow praised it, and lots.
And the Oscars, oh, the Oscars. Oh.
I've never taken any notice of the Oscars, and nor will I ever, I think, honestly. But just like with critics generally, I'm not entirely sure critics even have a voice in the Oscars, but either way, it's sort of similar. Like every situation, I suppose, everyone has different opinion. But I also don't know, I mean, why some opinions seem to be somehow considered to be more objective than others. And that's just like no idea. I mean, anyway, the point is this was interesting at the very least, certainly more interesting than, I mean, just I guess, if you've never seen any other comedy before, no, I mean, even if you haven't seen any other comedy, but the point is, if you spend a long amount of time just watching, the most predominant, I suppose, subgenre of comedies, the rom-com. I'm just saying, this is quite a departure. But I just have no idea what on earth they're on about. So here they say, three people performances and directing makes this drama the all too obvious. Too obvious what? I don't know. I thought it was funny. That worked for me. As a comedy, it worked. It's more funny than most comedies I've seen. And as a drama, it's the point is this, So, as far as that goes. Apparently, I thought the original Adams criticizes it for being a bit. Mostly criticized the fact that Williams didn't donate anything to. Yeah, but then I mean, it's not like he fundamentally hates him or anything. When he died, he did release a statement expressing remorse, etc. So it's not like, in that sense. So, anyway, the point is, it's really a more novel comedy than I've encountered in a long time. So that's a plus in my opinion. I mean, comedy is subjective ultimately, but I don't know what this is all about. It's a repeat performances. I don't know. I guess maybe the Robin Williams smile is a repeat. I have no idea. Honestly, man. They criticize the fact that it might not seem realistic, it's fake, it's lambasting the oversimplified portrayal of medical establishment. But, I'm sure not everyone was like that, but there's always people who are like that, so it's not exactly unrealistic in that aspect. Whether everyone's exactly as, I mean, who cares, honestly? The point is that there are people who. And clearly, there's people like what's it called again? Bob Gaunton's character. Yeah. So sure. Yeah. This is the thing, of course, with this movie, As much as critics criticize it, as much as there's obviously no nominations or anything, because nominations and awards are everything. Yeah, especially for idiotic movies like Silver Linings Playbook. Anyway, I'm just saying. Regardless of that, though, it did very well at the box office. It did very well. Yeah, number one actually for I think a weekend, and then number two for about a couple of weeks. So I think that's doing well. It had a huge budget though, especially for a 90s movie, 90 million. That's huge. And it made though 100 million, so presumably it made profit, unless somehow it used up over 100 million on ads or something. So yeah. But other than that, I mean, if the only thing also that was changed was the fact that he really graduated normally, as opposed to what was depicted, and the fact that the murdered person was a different genre, it doesn't really matter, it seems. I don't know. At any rate, I mean, I don't think that the original character really criticized that specifically either. He mainly seemed to criticize the fact that Williams didn't donate, apparently. The quit playing characters, yeah. I mean, even the fact that, you know, if he has to say, oh, if he was really me, that's pretty much what he said. If he was really Patch Adams, I mean, well, he's not really, you know, but I guess his acting was so realistic you thought he was. I don't know. I mean, you know, Robin Williams was funny, but he wasn't trying to enact a revolution that abolishes health insurance, I guess. So that's the problem. He's an actor. So anyway, yeah. It's kind of a problem, isn't it? But anyway, I don't suppose, you know. But you know, of all the reviews, yeah, the little I've read of the reviews. Yeah, apparently Ebert didn't like it either, but I gotta say, the metaphor he got here is a bit strange and bit bizarre, but interesting at the same time, you know. Like, he claims it extracts tears individually by liposuctional anesthesia. You know, I had no idea tears were made of fat. News to me. Who knew? Is that why people become fat? Because they cry a lot? Wow, that's an idea. I mean, you know, it's a bizarre metaphor, but makes very little sense. Well, sorry, it's bizarre, I guess. So I don't know. This is just says here. It's shameless. It claims it's a tearjerker, although he says it's not merely a tearjerker. You know, I don't get it. I mean, you know, it didn't seem to be over the top to me. Like, you know, an over the top tearjerker was, in my opinion, would be something like the ridiculous Angel Beats or even Clamats. You know, they're just, I think, in my opinion, I mean, the former even worse. And somehow it tries to be comedic as well, and that sounds itself similar. I mean, in my opinion, it didn't go too far. Like, you know, it's I mean, they show the death of one patient, pretty much just one patient. That's all. And you know, they didn't go on and show the death of those children as well. That would be going too far. You know, they didn't though. And apparently, it made Ebert want to spray the screen with Lysol. Does that mean, I don't know, he cried so much that he dirtied the screen? So, yeah, I wonder. Honestly. I also understand why critics react like this, honestly. I mean, you know, they're practically admitting that it affected them, and yet somehow they react negatively to that. I mean, Gene Siskel is even worse here. He claims he'd rather have a hernia or something than watch another moment of it. Ridiculous. He thinks he Adams was overbearing and nauseous and sanctimonious. Sanctimonious. I think if doctors claim that, you know, oh, I can make you a doctor. Oh no, we cannot be friends with patients. That's sanctimonious, not being friendly. Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. They're just a bit upside down. I honestly don't know if this is a simple thing of, you know, critics seemingly wanting to. I mean, you know, they're in a sort of similar situation, aren't they? They want the establishment to continue, possibly. I don't know. And same with doctors. Not that there's any overlap, but I don't know. I guess if they think that someone can just fool around, then there won't be even any establishment at all for any profession. I don't know.